The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier, Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, greetings to you on the dog days of summer. These beautiful, lazy times when sitting in a lawn chair on the patio with a good book and a glass of lemonade seems like the most beautiful thing in the world. These are the days when I especially like to wear a pendant that was a gift from my husband, a little pewter three-toed sloth that hangs around my neck, meant to slow me down, be a reminder to slow down and just take things a little more easily. You know, could you like chill a little bit, is what he was saying. To mix a metaphor, these are slothful dog days. Let's enjoy them while we can, shall we? Because did you notice in the lessons that were read this morning, all three and four of them, we have a message this morning that is anything but lazy and slothful. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is on his way with his disciples, preparing them for his very painful departure and their need to start stepping it up a little bit, actually a lot. They need to realize, he tells them, what is coming and that it's going to be messy for all of them. Do you remember that grid that was very popular a number of years ago, I think in business circles, also in the life of the church a little bit? It had across the top, I think it was important, not important, and then urgent, not urgent, and you were supposed to put any activity on the important, urgent, continuum and try and figure out what you were supposed to do. This is the lesson in which Jesus is saying, this stuff is really important and it is especially urgent that you pay attention to this. I come to bring fire to the earth and how I wish that it were already kindled. He says about his coming arrest and trial. God is doing a new thing and the kingdom of God is about to go into very high gear. It's going to take off in not too long a time. Jesus tells the disciples to watch out for the signs, to watch the signs. But how would they know? What might they be looking for? When there is a west wind off the Mediterranean, they know that it's going to rain. When there's a south wind from the desert, they know that it's going to be really hot. They knew all about the signs, and I think so do we. When the little yellow gas pump appears on the dashboard, we know time to go to Cumberland Farms. When our tooth begins to ache, we know I better get ahead of this and call the dentist, because it's August, and what if he's on vacation for 2 weeks? Or when August comes around, that's our cue, it's time for back to school everything. For the disciples and for us in our own days, Jesus is advising us that there are signs we need to be watching for, the signs of a spiritual crisis that we may be neglecting to notice. Now, for those of us who read and listen to and watch the news with some frequency, there are most definitely signs that are out there for us to pay attention to. You know what they are. An epidemic of opioid-related illnesses and deaths. So terribly sad. Those are there with us, and we know about them. Eruptions of gun violence. The constant drumbeat of the immigrant crisis emanating from Central America. We watch our sister democracy, Puerto Rico, in a free fall. And we keep a watchful eye on Russia and China and Iran and a host of other countries, Hong Kong. We scan the skies for rough weather and further signs of climate change. Yes, there are signs out there on all kinds of levels about all kinds of things, but they are not really, I think, what Jesus was referring to. I think he was operating at a different place, trying to highlight the spiritual crises that are provoked by the actions of the world. Those crises over and over that can tend to swamp our little boat or not so big boat, the spiritual crises of fear, anxiety, depression, hopelessness, helplessness, denial, complacency. In the face of all that is coming at us every day, our tendency may be to really want to curl up with that good book on the beach and forget all this difficulty on this beautiful August day. I think we know about wanting to forget, to black it all out. It's being called so overstimulated that we just shut down. About 2 weeks ago, a number of parishioners gathered at Christ Church Cathedral in Springfield, where I go to church most often, to talk about a book that we had read together. The selection was The Tattooist of Auschwitz, a cheery little tale about a particularly difficult time in history. Have some of you read that book? Do you know that story yet? The Tattooist of Auschwitz. I commend it to you. It's by Heather Morris. It's a novel about a time in history when the signs were all there, and yet not a lot of people were paying attention to them. The book is based on the author's interview with an actual person, Lale Sokolov, a Slovakian Jew. He knew six languages. He was educated. He was on the move. He was a very snappy dresser and, frankly, quite full of himself. In his mid-20s, who was swept up into the machinery of the Nazis' death and destruction activity in World War II. Lale was a man of unusual determination and fortitude, and he was also blessed with incredible luck. He decided from his very first days of detention, when he got off the train, or was it a truck, I can't remember, when he got off the conveyance and got to the camp and got in and said, "What is all this? And I thought I was going to work. What's work going to be?" When from the very first days of detention, he decided, "I am going to be one of the people who walks out of here. I don't know what this is. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm getting out of here alive." And then within a short time, he made the vow to himself, "This woman I have fallen in love with, she's getting out of here too. We are going to endure this and live." While nobody in 1942 knew that their imprisonment and forced labor was going to go on for years, Lale managed to indeed survive and to marry Gita and to go on to live something approaching a normal life. One of the many challenges he and the others with him faced at Birkenau and Auschwitz was the enormity of the situation bubbling around them in Europe at that time. It was truly colossal, and they were fighting a really formidable foe. While not a particularly observant Jew, Lally nevertheless had been schooled in the faith, and he held onto a very powerful tenet that had been a part of his life earlier and became very important in making life meaningful and bearable. The tenet was, whoever saves a single life is considered by Scripture to have saved the whole of the human race. Whoever saves a single life is considered by Scripture to have saved the whole world. So Lally conspired with some villagers who were day laborers coming in to work on the camp to smuggle in extra food and medicine and thereby save some of the sick and those who were starving. As he became aware that he could not save everyone and that he could not single-handedly turn this evil machinery around, he could do a little something every day to undermine it and just throw a little wrench into the works occasionally so that he had a bit of hope and a sense of accomplishment at the end of every day. It was almost as though he lived by the motto of the Daughters of the King, an Episcopal order of lay women who pray each day, I cannot do everything, but I can do something. Lord, what will you have me do today? Our faith, faith in the God of Abraham and Moses, faith in the Holy Spirit whose power working in us can do more than we can ask or imagine, faith in the person of Jesus who was sent to show us the way to the kingdom, is that God is greater than all the collective evils and challenges and disasters and distractions that life can throw at us. Our faith is that God is greater than all these things and all these signs that life is not as it should be or as it could be. Because God, after all, has promised to be faithful to us with a steadfast love that never, ever ends. It never even wavers, let alone ends. Though at times that love is very hard to discern in the everyday events swirling around us. This, I believe, is what Jesus would want us to know. That though the signs may be worrisome and may drag us down to a place of feeling afraid and overwhelmed, and that the process of keeping afloat is sometimes really messy, that God is with us and that we are with each other. We are never meant to do this alone. So we are with each other, supporting, sustaining, providing, enduring, believing. God's kingdom and the life that Jesus offers are greater than all of this. So let us not fall into despair or be overcome by discouragement by the challenges of this present time. Let us act upon the signs we have of God's presence and of God's tremendous goodness. By our very being here today, in the beauty of the sunshine and the power of a good book, through the smile on the face of the person to whom you're going to give sandwiches later today, in the dedicated work to which we are called, we might even become the signs of God's love in the searching world in which we live. So today, let's go out and be signs of God's resurrection power living in and through us. Amen. Amen.